JB tomorrow, or me the next day. You start feeling sorry about it, and it'll be all you'll ever feel. That's why it's called the Deathlands. It doesn't never stop.
Doesn't ever stop.
She felt a tremor from his chest as he chuckled at her attempt to correct him.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So, what if it had been me?
He leaned over her then, his single eye glittering in the dim light.
You're different, Christy. Special. You know that.
I'm not quite sure how to take that.
How do you want to take it?
Christy looked at him then, really looked at him. She could see in his expression that he was being sincere in his feelings for her. She didn't know what the future had in store for the two of them, but she knew in her heart that from now on, her destiny lay with this man.
Yeah, you're sort of special too.
Before dawn, they fell asleep, tangled in each other's arms, having made love three times. After they'd driven the buggies onto the small, gale-swept plateau beside the redoubt, they gathered for a last word from Ryan.
We've got radio, so let's keep in touch. We're Buggy 1, JB's 2, and Hen's 3. Use the radio only if you have to. We should be able to keep in visual touch. JB's got the maps. We're heading toward where the town of Anchorage was. Should get close by evening.
As he spoke, the ground trembled under their feet, and some powdery snow came cascading from the cliff above the redoubt's entrance.
Just a small quake. There'd be plenty of those mothers where you got volcanoes. You can taste the sulfur on your tongue.
The gale was gathering force, and Doc nearly lost his tall stovepipe hat. He secured it with elastic beneath his chin, and half shouted to be heard above the wind.
This hurricane puts me in mind of a jest I was once told.
A jest? You mean a joke? I recall Peter Maritza back in Harmony using that word for something funny. Said it was a word his grandfather used, and he kind of remembered it.
Doc nodded, wiping a tear from the corner of his eye.
This damned wind! It appears that many, many years ago, back in Kansas, there was a herd of longhorn cattle.
Was longhorn some sort of muties?
Not really, young Finnegan. They were grazing out on the open grasslands when a dreadful gale arose. A positive typhoon it was. And it began to blow ever more strongly toward these cattle.
Oki huddled against the chill as Doc spoke.
Get to the fucking point, Doc! God, I'm freezing my fucking tits off!
My apologies, madam, though I hardly feel that my style of discourse merits such foul language from such pretty lips. I will proceed. The wind eventually blew with such ferocity that the entire group of cows were lifted from their feet and whisked away over the horizon. They became known forever after as the herd shot round the world.
It was obviously the punchline, so everyone laughed appreciatively. As they climbed into their buggies, Christy tugged at Ryan's sleeve.
Did you get that joke of Doc's?
Nope. Couldn't understand a word of it.
Once everyone was aboard, they set off toward the city of Anchorage. The Narodniki were on the right road. They knew that because the Mutie woman had told them before they used and abused her, finally spilling her tripe in the snow with the curved blade of the bayonet of a Kalashnikov. Uchitil had questioned the woman with the words Stoppile and Anchorage. She'd responded to the latter name, gesturing to the south. Her mouth was so misshapen, with only a residual tongue, that she could do no more than nod and point. So they moved on. A long line of people, heavily furred against the bitter nuclear winter, heeling their ponies and horses toward the rising sun, rifles slung across shoulders, food and ammo weighing down the pack animals. Their eyes were cold as ice, and many of them wore clothes splattered with dried blood. So far, they had seen no signs of the legendary dangers that had for so long prevented anyone from the Russian side crossing the frozen strait. There had been no sign of flaming hotspots or of giant muties 50 feet tall with eyes of fire and claws of steel. Nor was the land utterly barren. Here and there were patches of earth free of snow, pocked and dappled with dark green mosses and stubbly grass. They had met little opposition to their plans to drive inland. Apart from the loss of Noel and Bochka's unfortunate shoulder wound, there had been few casualties on this trip, and they had lost only two men, both to a single rifleman a day back. The sniper had ridden on a slope overlooking the hamlet they were ravaging, and had shot down both men from cover. Then, as the angry gorillas charged him, he had put a bullet through his own skull. Two dead. Three if he counted the absent Noel, Uchitl thought. Only one injured, two if he allowed for the three toes that Britva had self-amputated. Their journey to Stadtpie was taking much longer than Uchitl had been led to expect. After a two-week southeasterly trek across the Alaskan interior, they'd encountered an impassable mountain range. Changing their course to the northeast, they'd eventually found a trail that led south through the mountains. Unknown to the Narodnyaki, they were traveling along the earthquake-riven remains of what had once been the main highway linking Anchorage and Fairbanks. Now that they were finally drawing close to Anchorage and Stadtpie, Uchitl was well pleased with himself. And as they rode along, he sang an old, old ballad about the stars being the sentinels for mankind. He liked the verse about the importance of order over chaos. It appealed to his sense of the rightness of things. Far off to the left, he glimpsed the skulking shapes of a pack of muty wolves, their bellies flat to the tundra, shadowing the party. He must be disappointed, thought Uchitl, that there were no weak stragglers in his band as there might be in a herd of caribou, stragglers that they could drag down and rend apart. There were no weak stragglers in the Narodnyaki. Toward evening, the ground shook with one of the worst quakes since they'd crossed into Alaska. Rocks on a slope of icebound boulders ahead of them broke free and cascaded down noisily, nearly blocking the trail. The horses were frightened, and several riders, including the massive Bjisebrasnia, were unseated. Angered by the mocking laughter, she grabbed her animal's bridle and delivered a fearsome punch to the horse's head, knocking it to its knees. Then she kicked and lashed it with her whip until it returned to its feet. As she remounted, she was rewarded with cheers from her fellows. Uchitl touched the cold hilt of his saber, remembering the good feeling of decapitating an enemy. He wanted to capture more enemies, so that he could use the sword once more. Perhaps in the town of Anchorage, there would be plenty of chances. When the wind shifted to the south, he caught the bitter taste of salt on his tongue, in addition to the ever-present salt.